Well, first, thank you, Dr. Flagg, and it's a real privilege to be here to present on behalf of my co-authors and collaborators in the STD Surveillance Network. And I'm hoping I can be the warm-up act because it's a little cold in this room. So maybe I'll bring a little bit of sunshine to our presentation today, presenting data from the STD Surveillance Network, which we call SUN. So anyone who has been awake or at least halfway conscious through the first couple of sessions, plenaries, etc., understands that interest in MSM contribution to our STD epidemics is increasing for lots of different reasons. First and foremost, we have seen a resurgence of syphilis cases globally as well as in many states, and it appears that MSM are driving that resurgence. And while we know the MSM status fairly well for most of our syphilis cases, we have very little information on the gender of sex partners for persons that are diagnosed with gonorrhea or chlamydial infection. And historically, we've always used programmatically the male to female case ratio to help drive the mix of interventions around our epidemics, especially with syphilis. But in the absence of reliable information today, the male-to-female case ratio might be useful to indicate the proportion of MSM involvement in gonorrhea as well. And the objectives of our analysis were to test the assumption that the male-to-female case ratio was correlated with the proportion of total cases that are attributable to MSM at the county level in particular. And we do have enhanced gonorrhea surveillance data from selected jurisdictions that we can use for this work. We have data on the gender of sex partners, as well as transactional sex. And we are defining, for the purposes of our analysis, MSM as those male patients who report male sex partners in the exposure period. And transactional sex is broadly defined as either exchange of money or drugs or housing, survival sex, etc. And then we wanted to use these data to help us assess the threshold in the crude male to female case ratio above which we can make a strong inference that there's a strong MSM component in local transmission. And why is this important to us? Well, nationally, we have certainly seen an increase in the number of reported gonorrhea cases. And in fact, that's a fairly robust increase of 27.7% in the period of 2010 through 2015. I'm obligated to say that 2015 data are preliminary. However, it looks like these are going to be the final numbers. And the incidence rate increased almost 24%, up to 124 per 100,000 in 2005. So gonorrhea is increasing nationally, and it's of interest to us to begin to be able to interpret these increases and potentially drive some interventions. But this is not equally distributed by gender. When we look at the increases by gender, males have increased 50% in that same time period. Female incidence increased only 1.5%. When we look at that in terms of the crude male to female case ratio, we can clearly see that the burden of gonorrhea between men and women is changing radically in the last couple of years. But is this a return to a historical norm? We've certainly seen this before. In the area before we had rapid diagnostics and broad diagnostics using urine, we often had way more men being diagnosed because of the symptomatic presentation of males versus mostly asymptomatic infections in women. Is this what's happening again? We don't know. Or is something new happening? Or maybe not new. Maybe this is something we've also seen before. Well, what are some of the plausible explanations for why we might be seeing an increase in male cases versus female cases? So if there were a decrease in female screening, as you know, we've had many efforts over the last two decades to screen women preferentially in reproductive health settings. So we've been identifying a large burden of asymptomatic infections among women. If that has changed, if we're doing less screening, we may see less female cases. Proportionately as a proportion of the total. Has there been an increase in male screening? That might be another thing that could account for the flip in the ratio of male to females being reported. And there are some evidence to maybe support that we've done a good job of screening males, especially MSM, in STD clinical settings across multiple anatomic sites. So maybe, but in general, we don't have a whole lot of evidence around screening to help drive decision-making. Another plausible explanation for there being more male cases being reported than female cases. If there were a broad national increase in the proportion of heterosexual transactional sex, we might expect to see more cases per female index case. And again, we don't have much evidence to support that there's been any real broadly disseminated increase in transactional sex in the United States. And a third explanation, which we actually think is quite plausible, in combination with some contribution from the other two, is an increase in MSM transmission, as well as an increase in the identification of asymptomatic gonorrhea infections among MSM. And we sort of come to this conclusion because we've seen increases in syphilis that are real increases in the incidence and transmission of disease. And it's possible that the same group of people that are being diagnosed with syphilis may also be diagnosed with gonorrhea. And anecdotally, many clinics have seen the proportion of MSM presenting positive for gonorrhea. But we still have insufficient evidence. These are all anecdotal and in some cases just sketchy personal reports. So we don't have good information on the gender of sex partners for reported gonorrhea cases. And we certainly have very little information on transactional sex. When we do work our cases, and many jurisdictions still are able to work and provide partner services to some persons diagnosed with gonorrhea, we still don't collect transactional sex necessarily as structured data that we can use. And many jurisdictions, despite HEDIS and some other potentially available sources of information, we don't have good information on screening, especially among men. So we don't have a whole lot of epidemiologic data upon which to make our programmatic decisions. But we still have those commonly available and easily calculated and very timely crude measures such as the male-to-female case ratio. In the STD Surveillance Network, which is an ongoing supplemental surveillance program, we had 12 health departments that were collaborating in the period from 2009 to 2013. They conducted enhanced case investigations on a random sample of gonorrhea cases that were reported from all providers to the Department of Health. And in that interview process, we ascertained the gender of sex partners. We also asked about transactional sex in all of its potential manifestations. And the data were designed to be representative at the county level. So these are some good data that we can use for our analysis. But we looked across all of our counties, and we had 127 counties participating in this project. But we wanted to narrow it down to those that reported a fairly large number of cases, as well as interviewed a fairly large fraction of their cases. So we narrowed it down to 56 counties in 11 of our sites that reported 100 or more cases between January 2010 and June 2013, and that we had interview information available on at least 10% of those cases. We excluded our colleagues in San Francisco County as an outlier, which they clearly were, because of their population characteristics. Then we calculated the crude male-to-female case ratio using the national reporting data for those counties. And then we obtained estimates of the proportion of cases reporting MSM exposure, as well as those reporting transactional sex from our enhanced interview data, weighted up to represent the population of all cases. Well, the results, let's just take a quick look at the mean descriptives. The proportion of cases attributable to MSM across all 56 of these counties was a mean of 17.7%, which is a significant amount of cases. And that range was fairly broad, from 2.5% in one of our jurisdictions to 84% in another. And then the mean proportion of cases reporting any sort of transactional sex was fairly low at 1%. Although there was a little variability when we began to look across MSM, men who have sex exclusively with women and among women. We also then took these data and correlated them to see the strength of the association between the crude male-to-female case ratio and the overall proportion of gonorrhea cases attributable to MSM, and found a fairly robust, strong correlation between the two, with a Pearson correlation coefficient of 0.76. Well, because we were interested in this issue of transactional sex and being able to see if the crude male to female case ratio was independently associated with the proportion of MSM. We controlled for the proportion of cases in each jurisdiction that reported transactional sex and still found with the partial correlation coefficient that this was a fairly robust relationship between male to female case ratio and proportion of cases attributable to MSM. So there's some limitations to these kinds of data. Our sites were certainly not selected to be representative of the United States. However, there was great geographic diversity in our sites, so we think this may be reflective, potentially, of what you're seeing in other areas. Gender of sex partners and transactional sex for this particular analysis were based on self-report. However, we have no reason to doubt that these data are as valid as any other self-reported data. Weighted estimates of the proportion of men reporting MSM sex have a fairly broad confidence interval, especially in those sites where we had few cases reported, down near the lower limit of 100. And we really could not control in any meaningful way for changes in screening, although that 2009 to 2013 period only overlapped slightly with the recommendations for screening men across multiple anatomic sites. So in conclusion, we found in our data that male-to-female case ratios, crude ratios, above about 1.3 were significantly associated with an MSM burden in the overall gonorrhea incidence of over 30%. Which is an indication to us that we can use this rule of thumb to at least infer the extent of MSM involvement in local gonorrhea epidemics. And yes, it's fairly straightforward and obvious and intuitive, but this is the first time we've had firm evidence to support the use of this ratio to infer the proportion among MSM. And we would say that, you know, you should cautiously use these data in your own jurisdiction. Calculating the crude male-to-female case ratio is something you can do on an ongoing and timely basis, and it may help you to steer or at least be aware of the intervention mix in your jurisdiction. And as we've heard throughout this conference, and we'll hear again later in this conference, interventions are different for heterosexuals and for MSM. And we want to make sure that our intervention mixes are being informed by data from enhanced surveillance projects like the STD Surveillance Network, and we would encourage you to think about sampling your own cases and doing limited enhanced investigations. They don't necessarily have to be DIS-mediated partner services interventions, but just very quick investigations to determine the proportion of cases in your jurisdiction that are attributable to MSM. And of course, before I end, I would like to thank all of the collaborators, many of whom are in the room today, who collect these data from patients at the local level through the STD Surveillance Network. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Any questions? Please come forward to the mic. We've got time for one or two questions.
And hopefully the temperature in the room is now moving upward as we move to California, where the warm breezes will.
Got a lot of bodies
certainly
here. Good. A question.
Hi, Eileen. Thank you, Mark. Kathy Hsu, Massachusetts Department of Public Health, BU Medical Center. Thanks for a great presentation. Just a question about how generalizable or not you may think these are to the other diseases of interest that are nationally notifiable, for example, chlamydia.
Certainly. That's a great question, and thank you, Dr. Hsu. I don't know that we would find the same results were we doing a random sample of chlamydial infection cases that are reported to us. However, anecdotally, we know that rectal chlamydial infections are fairly common among MSM, so potentially as more screening is done at non-genital anatomic sites among MSM, we may indeed see a steep increase in the number of men that are reported with rectal chlamydia. So potentially, I think these data can be generalizable, certainly for syphilis, where your male to female case ratios are 9 to 1 or 12 to 1. That's a pretty safe bet that rule of thumb is as good as your thumb to use to indicate MSM involvement in your epidemics. For HPV and other non-notifiable conditions, I don't know.